A reading from the Word of God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Our hymn is number 10. Glory to you, Lord and Father of all mankind, who send such wondrous blessings to us, blessings of sun and rain, of good food and good times, of good fellowship one with the other. Glory to you, O Lord Jesus Christ, who did not deign a form a thing to be despised, but came amongst us, suffered with us, lived with us, and died for us that we might rise with thee. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Holy Spirit, who has been our companion and our strength, who gives us power when we are powerless, joy when we are joyless, and courage when we are afraid. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. There are several impossible tasks in the world. One is coming up with an introduction for Ed Christman. I was talking to Ed about how I should introduce him, and I went through the usual things you do in an introduction. He says, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. That doesn't leave much left. There are two assured facts about Ed. He likes yogurt. And he has not signed the Baptist Faith and Message. On a more serious level, I've known Ed for some time. We were students together at a place near Riverside Drive in New York. I respect him. He'll bring our message at the end of our choir presentation. Thank you.
Three times in this chapel, I have received certification for some vocational direction. Were any of these certifications the will of God? Were they contradictory? How do they fit together, or do they fit together at all? A bachelor's degree in history, a degree in law, and a degree in theology. For some, the will of God must be as clear as the Kansas wheat fields and those very straight and flat roads that go through that state. But our eldest daughter has driven through Kansas, and much to her surprise, she said, "Daddy, there's a curve in Kansas." But mind you, they're going to straighten it out. Indeed, the will of God, could it possibly be one of those screwballs from Tug McGraw? And if you don't know that, I'm sorry for you. You're hardly an American. How does God's will come to us? How does creation appear, if not in changes, accompanied by just a few fragmented clues that in hindsight we somehow put together? No, God's will is, at least for me, not in the indicative mood, but the subjunctive mood. Item. A Southeastern graduate goes to a nearby church as a minister of education, and then he becomes pastor of a church in Virginia. He is, by all the criteria, successful. He calls his former minister and says, "I am going to give it all up. It is wrong for me to be in this place." How did his minister respond to that curveball? He said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I'm going to law school." And after law school, this Southeastern graduate returned to the place where he had been a minister of education, and now he is practicing what he judges to be the ministry of law, yes, the will of God. And he observed to me this summer that many of his classmates at Southeastern are not in the preaching ministry. Is that not possibly the will of God? Is it not the will of God that people in the Smithfield community would accept him in his new ministry? Item. A student at Southeastern is burdened by his work. He is trying hard, but he doesn't really enjoy it at all. He has always enjoyed photography, and he knew of my somewhat different pilgrimage, so he came and said, "What's it like for me to leave and for you to come here?" And I said, "It is not two trains passing each other in the night. It is conceivably God speaking to us both, for do you believe, Irvin Grigg, that God would punish you for your sins by making you stay here when you are unhappy? How could that be the will of God?" His load lightened, he became a photographer and a businessman, and he is God's gift to the local pastor, an active layman. How does God's will come to us? Probably in the subjunctive and not the indicative mood. For you see, at age 50, this active layman is still assuming the possibility that God has other things in store, still awaiting a surprise. But his life as a minister, as a disciple, has been real. Item. There is a student here this morning who entered another profession. That student was modestly successful, but also failed to some degree by normal standards. That student is here, and that student is able to say, "I know this is where I ought to be." And I said, "Well, you had some notions when you went to Southeastern of why you wanted theological training and how that was going to relate to your earlier professional training. You still think that way?" "Well, I'm not sure now." But I am certain that I ought to be at Southeastern. And there was a glow and a clarity and a sense of joy. Can you say that about yourself? Regardless of how you came, what is your state of being? Can you imagine that God, again, is punishing you somehow, fulfilling dreams of other persons? This photographer who left the seminary was one of four children of a minister and his wife, and none of them are in the professional ministry. And that's okay. Can you say that it is really real being here? Is there a joy? And how about the hard work? I came here after having failed the bar exam twice, a dubious distinction to be the highest ranking graduate of the Wake Forest Law School ever to flunk the bar. Is that the will of God? Is that anything we would have prayed for, given thanks for? A spouse who had thought earlier in her own religious sojourn that she would certainly marry a minister, adjusted to the marrying of a lawyer, and now she's married to a minister. And a mystified mother who should have been a lawyer herself, not quite sure of her daughter-in-law's influence, waited it out and decided that it was okay. And while here, with some degree of joy about studying those subjects, Greek and philosophy and church history, I acquired what was supposed to be a part-time job. Beware, if you are not already aware of the inaccuracy of that term. Full-time student plus part-time BSU director, you got to be kidding. So one morning I called Bill Strickland and said, "Dr. Strickland, I'm going to flunk this exam." "Oh, that's okay, Ed. Don't worry about it." "You got to be kidding, Dr. Strickland. I got to worry." The pressure is one of God's clues. Can you handle the work? Or perhaps you are intelligent, but you're not academic and you ought not to be in this place. Are there not some of you, is there not someone here prepared to do God's will by figuring out how not only to produce food, but to equitably distribute it in the world of hunger? Is there not an artist here who should paint or sculpt or dance? Is there not a person here who should be a journalist or who should work with handicapped children or the elderly? Oh yes, in the midst of that pressurized pressure cooker of a hard job, part-time, and a family, somehow I got a clue that that was what I ought to be doing. But alas, I came to this chapel again and saw a movie. And it was about overseas missions. And I thought that's what I ought to do. But you see, I have certain modest physical limitations. And I wanted to go to Thailand, but not everyone agreed with that. And in that time of trouble, I went to a professor who had suffered and anguished over his own vocational choices. I sought the will of God in another person. And we agreed that because in my limited life as a campus minister for just a short while, it was true I could not point to a single person for whom I had been God's instrument for leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And that might give the Foreign Mission Board trouble. Now, had it been the will of God, would I not have persisted and reminded the mission board of Paul's injunctions to multiple gifts, and not all are evangelists, but all certainly are witnesses? But in the company of this person to whom I laid my soul bare, there was communion and there was understanding, and the no of the Foreign Mission Board was a yes to campus ministry, and the will of God was there. In some sense, clearer than it had been before. In the midst of all that we know of ourselves, God's will comes with a measure of joy in the subjunctive mood. in a measure of hard work in which one has not flirted with academics, but has tried to fall in love, and either knows that that disciplined work and that burden is a confirmation of some sense of direction or a denial of being here, so that one ought to go elsewhere and do the will of God. And for some, is it not strangely, surprisingly true that dramatically and through evolutionary processes, we are here and we like it and we love it and we are working and we are serving somewhere and life is all together? Give thanks unto God for that, for I dare say to you, as I say to myself after 25 years of joy in campus ministry, your sense of certainty goes beyond your virtue. It probably, as in my case, exceeds my devotional life, and it even exceeds the modest critique of my work. Indeed, if no shoe of suffering has fallen, I dare say you'd better wait, for it will. The common human experience, the crucible out of which certain clarity ultimately comes, is suffering and anxiety and failure. And with those curious instruments, God seems to be able to work. How is it that I would have arrived at this place? Do you realize that every job I have obtained has been the direct consequence of someone else being fired? How does God use suffering and death and the resolute determination of a woman who was going to stand her ground if it cost her her job? What does that do for me? Except to suggest that somehow there is an interconnection. And that as I laid my soul bare with a professor, and as I talked with friends at every stage of this religious pilgrimage, I discovered that it is in worship. It is in those high and low moments, yea, verily, the misty flat of boredom, that God's will somehow can be discovered. It is in labor and in leisure. And who are we kidding? Did not some cynical yet truthful writer say, when Christians gather for worship, they pretend to be worshiping God, but all they do is get caught trying to catch the Lord. And then they confess, "Oh Lord, we're sorry, trying to put thee in a box of clarity and indicative mood in the presence of so many uncertainties." Well then, God may surprise us all. Thanks be unto God for that surprising element, that uncertainty, which allows our lives not to be flat, but to allow them to explore all kinds of options, to swing, as you, if you will, even at a Tug McGraw screwball, and try to hit it. And unlike in baseball terminology, it may be that at least three swings and you're in the kingdom's work, not outside it. Paul said a lot to the turbulent folks at Corinth. He talked about the gifts of evangelism and teaching and service. Can we not apply that to the wider community and suggest that the bottom line is not a profession, not a skilled job, whether we call it professional Christians or not, but it is what Paul said was under it all. Faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of the gifts is love, which I prefer to call stubbornness. God is terribly stubborn. Covenant maker and covenant keeper, the Lord is, in spite of all our indecisions and unwillingness to run risk and take chances and swing. God persists. Do we not have to persist if we would discover God's will? Do we not have to die and bury ourselves and be afraid in order to be resurrected? Is it not in that sense of hope that we discover what resurrection really means? I covet for you the chance to find joy in this place and to work hard and to give it your best shot. I covet for you the community which would support you if you stay in the misty flat or if you leave here and find God's will elsewhere. I covet for all of us the divine surprises which come to us now and then and shape our lives In the strong name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. God of regularity and clues, God of uncertainty and the subjunctive mood, speak to us, we pray, in love and affection and in stern judgment. Speak to us in joy and in failure, in success and in adversity. Speak to us, O Lord, let us hear and let us see Thee in the faces and the needs of others. Use us, we pray, individually and as a worshiping community to be Thy disciples. We offer this prayer in the name of Him who has come for us and is with us and calls us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.